number two of the Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, the podcast will be uploaded moments after the show goes off the air. As always, the Periscope is streaming live right now on the Facebook and Twitter accounts. You can go and check out fanrunradio.com to get a lot of great content leading into tomorrow night's game against South Carolina. And then last but not least, the Fan Run Radio app is free for you to download on whatever app store you got. You can take the show, take the station, wherever you are headed throughout the day. Hey, if you're like Charlie and you're headed to South Carolina either today or tomorrow, be sure to take the show with you using the Fan Run Radio app. But
and,
of course,
okay.
What?
Well,
and,
go ahead. Well, you already knew.
Oh,
all that.
But of course you already knew all that.
And on your way back from the game,
Yep.
Be sure to listen to Russell and Houston and Davey
and Billy Stats
and Bill Will
on the voluntary reaction, which will fire up right after the game gets off. Russell just stopped by. It was good to see old Russ.
It was.
I hadn't seen him in a while.
You know, since I
is that the first time you met Russ?
In what, February? I've seen
Are you in awe?
I've seen him like maybe twice, and I've seen Bear once.
So he's like the white whale is what both of them are. And you finally saw the white whale today. It's not as appealing as you thought it was, right?
I've even like stayed on John's show like 8 or 9 times now since I've been here, and still I've never seen.
Does the face match the voice?
Well, no, that was confused the first time.
Because
you didn't think it did.
It did not.
Because, be honest, Russell don't really sound like a skinny guy that he is.
No offense to you, Russell.
He does a little bit, though. A big fat guy with a good voice. That's what he kind of sounds like.
No offense,
though.
Russell.
Like when I,
time for radio.
Before I
You're
met
a
Russ.
Bit older than I thought you were, too.
Wow.
Whoa.
He's right outside the door
he's
still.
Right out there.
No. Like,
you calling him old, huh?
Not old.
We call him the old guys. But he's like 2 years older than me. So it's like, I can't really say much. No, I think Russ just turned 40 this year, the big 4-0.
Yeah, I know. I just assumed he was like 30.
At what age do you
29?
Get old man strength?
Wow. Oh, Brandon. That definitely ain't came yet. I'm definitely not in there. I don't think
no,
you.
That, does Russell have. Like when
no, no, no. Russell don't have no old
no,
man strength.
No.
Hell no. Hell no.
No,
Brandon. Look at him. When
well, I'm just
his,
wondering, what
you
age
know,
do you get? Is like 45?
Old man strength? He's not at that age yet. He's not at the age
we would like to welcome on for the first time ever.
Russell Smith.
Russell Smith to
Onto
the Blitz.
Oh, wow, this is a big
This
moment.
Is a first.
Add some maturity and class to this show.
Oh, my
some
God.
Some dignity.
No, that's what we That's what we gained.
Here,
that's what here we
he goes.
Gained
here
when
he
we
goes.
Left the drive.
So, Russell, Brandon has a good question. I told him, you know, I give you a bunch of grief all the time, old guys, but you're only like 2 years older than me. But old man strength, you're not there yet.
At what
like that,
age do you
that's
get like old
the,
man
That's
strength.
At the bear age. That's when you get on that side.
Well, no, you get grown man strength. You know,
maybe, no, maybe when you have a kid.
I 30s or when you have kids.
When
now,
you have
I'm
a
not,
kid.
I'm not, you know, I'm not going to claim to be Mr. Universe over here or anything. Definitely stronger.
Well, you lost some
Dad
weight, though.
Russell. Definitely stronger physically than pre-dad Russell. There's something about creating life that adds to your own physical strength.
Did he birth her? Jeff Van Gundy over here.
Oh, Doris Burke.
Yeah, or Doris. But no, yeah, I think that probably has something to play with it, Brandon. You got to either be a father
question.
Or you got to, you
father
know.
Father reach the age of 50.
Yeah.
50.
You guys got to start showing some respect for us old heads around here, everything. Remember, like, you guys were each part of the drive
what?
At one time. I brought you into this world. I could take you all
oh,
out.
He
start
take
showing
us out.
Some damn respect, or I'll have you doing 3 to 6 a.m.
Oh.
by the end of the month.
Oh.
Which is only a few days away.
Look, wait.
Just remember.
We'll make Charlie do it. We'll just
I feel like you have already threatened me personally with the graveyard shift multiple times. Coming to the last one was the September song. I will not take the threat into
oh,
the graveyard shift.
Oh, worst take
shift.
Ever.
Rick, don't go. Don't,
worst,
let's
please.
Not rehash
That's
that.
That's your worst take ever, Rick.
I mean, why would you bring – you brought that up. Like
Green Day versus EWF.
First off, I'm not even ashamed of that take. You guys act like I come on here and I'm bringing up bad memories. I don't have bad memories of that moment. Mm. I don't have bad memories of that show. I feel like I held my own.
Green Day over Earth, Wind, and Fire. Lil Wayne, the father of hip hop.
Oh my God! When you said that,
I know you've got another. I know you've got yeah, another just completely idiotic thought. Come on, Rick, make it a trio.
There was also Vlad Divac.
Blade Divac.
Who is Vlad Divac?
It looks like Vlad Divac is taking over as the Sacramento Kings general manager. What? Yeah. Who? Yeah.
Vlade Divac.
Divac. He could play.
This is also a big. It's a big day for Charlie Russell. He said that this is his first time actually seeing. So you're like the white whale to him. Yeah, you and the bear. He only heard the voice. He's never seen.
Does it live up to everything you thought it was? Yeah. Go ahead, drink it in. Soak it all in.
I think he's in awe. I think he's in awe.
I mean,
He didn't. Well, he said, though, he did say he didn't know you were as old as you are.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then I was like, but then I was like,
he got us into the old man's strength.
Like 39 or 40, but your voice, okay. I thought you were like 28, 29.
Thought you were 28, 29.
Okay. See, it's weird because I used to get the opposite. Like when I was younger on the air, people would come up and say, oh, I thought you were much older.
I thought your voice always made you sound older.
I guess that is part of it. You guys, it's going to happen to you too. You're going to blink, and the next thing you know, you're going to be driving a minivan with a couple kids in the back.
Hey, man, I'm doing.
Being like, what the hell happened? I'm 40. I've got
virtual school now.
We got Chance coming in every virtual day telling school. Us about just the hell
off
that
about
he walks through.
Pissed off about it. School. I can't stand it. She won't understand the rounding.
She can't round? What are we talking about?
The
like
rounding.
Eight round up to ten?
No, nears tens, nears hundreds. And I'm not making
fun. Doesn't get it?
Before I get in a lot of trouble, I am not making fun of.
Calling his kid stupid.
No.
Interesting position you've taken out this morning. But
you're going to get me in a lot of trouble when I get off here today. I am gonna be grounded from the show. I am not gonna be able to come. It's gonna
be
next week. I'm gonna say
TV privileges.
All the shows are from home, boys. All the shows are from home.
Your TV privilege has been taken away from football Saturday.
Are your kids doing the school or are they doing virtual school?
So I've got the 12-year-old. We pretty much leave to herself because I can't help her anyway at this point. Matt,
dude,
she's
Common Core. Why are there three steps? Why? To get to one answer.
I don't know. But I've got, I'll tell you what you could write a book about.
Yes.
Virtual kindergarten. Ooh. That's happening.
Virtual.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like
that's what you're doing right now.
Oh, yeah.
All the kids talking at the same time.
Well, the first week was just teaching the kids how to mute and unmute themselves.
That
was the whole first week.
I came in here telling you guys about this.
Mute, unmute. That was the whole first day.
We're doing fourth grade.
The whole first week, excuse me.
Yes, we're doing fourth grade virtual school.
Okay.
And the whole first week I was telling you, it's trying to tell kids that are 9 years old how to act in a Zoom meeting.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm doing 5-year-olds, bro. It's tough.
You might have it worse. But the math, we're slowly getting past the math.
Okay, good.
It's taking a lot of patience. But I was wondering if you were doing the virtual school because it is starting to make me go gray. I understand. I think one time, not too long ago,
it's causing
2 years ago,
Chance to not even put clothes on before he comes into the show.
You see it?
He's wearing a plaid onesie right now.
I mean, he's let himself.
You lucky I didn't wear the dragon onesie. Whoa!
I've got Grandma managing virtual school at Stately Smith Manor right now, so this is like precious freedom, man. This is the first time I've done.
Got
something.
It made. You got
this
it made.
First time I've been dressed before noon in weeks. I mean,
you got it made. And see, with my virtual school, all the easy subjects are in the morning: PE, reading, science, things I like. Social studies, loved history, political science, mine.
Sure.
But then the afternoon when I get done with radio.
Uh-oh.
That's when math. That's where I come into play. I'm the math guy.
You got to
But I'm not
over.
Really
so
the math guy.
Right now, we're doing rounding numbers.
We're doing rounding.
Little fractions.
Hadn't got to fractions. Okay. I feel like that's coming, though.
Multiplication table.
Yeah.
That,
well,
third grade.
Yeah.
That
well,
third,
she got
grade.
The thing that happened was losing those last couple months on third grade.
Yeah.
Then they started fourth grade not knowing any of the last 3 months.
They didn't just, they're just like, okay, well, I guess that didn't happen. I guess they don't get to learn that. Yeah. Just going right along.
And then they're like, oh, scores across Tennessee have dropped 50% from third and fourth graders. Wonder why. But no, it's borrowing and like hundreds and that stuff.
Long division?
That's a difficult concept.
Long division.
Yeah, borrowing.
That's where, like, last year my daughter's in sixth grade, and I would help her with the math, and then it got to they were doing least common denominators, greatest common whatever, multiplying fractions, and as about midway through the sixth grade year, I had to. It was just like, you know, when that curling, when they're like, they're skating down with the thing and then they just let it go.
Yeah. You just gotta let it go.
That's
sometimes.
Like me and my daughter's education. I just had to let it go.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you're on your own, honey. Good luck. Can't help you anymore.
You got to. My biggest thing is, I'm not the greatest teacher. Always thought I was. Always excelled in training and other jobs. But when it comes to the teaching of the math, I'm like, I can't tell you why. This is why it is.
Forget
this, and then I'm like, forget this Common Core stuff. Do it like this.
Have there been a point for either of you where basically, like, you've had to kind of go back and reteach yourself?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Because we nowadays only use calculators. I mean, I haven't done long division in well over 10 years.
I had to watch a Khan Academy video this morning.
Khan Academy.
You know about Khan Academy, don't you?
I don't know about Khan Academy.
That's what they're teaching.
I went to Khan Academy when I was at the University
of
Tennessee.
So you know about Khan. Yeah. I had to watch an entire 10-minute video so I could teach why you make the zero a nine. Because I couldn't formulate how to put that into words.
Man.
Making a zero a nine?
Yeah, what?
Borrowing.
When you're borrowing.
You're borrowing, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, you would not do well with kids. you think that's the easy answer? You think that's the easy answer? No. No. I'm glad me and Russell got. I got to vent to Russell just
now.
I think
that's
I needed that.
Russell, I mean, while we got you on here, game day tomorrow, any kind of initial thoughts going into the game tomorrow? I mean, where is a place that you feel like Tennessee should be able to excel in the game tomorrow?
On the scoreboard, man. It's South Carolina. Like, they're losers. Let me tell you. I was born in Columbia, South Carolina. I know these people. They're losers. That's what they do. If Tennessee doesn't beat South Carolina tomorrow, I'll have major questions for the first time about Jeremy Pruitt. And that's knowing where we were a year ago losing to Georgia State. You can't do that. It would be 3 years in a row. All 3 years that he's been a head coach, that he didn't have his team prepared to play. So I don't think that's going to happen. Obviously, we hope it's not going to happen. But if it does, it's going to be a major bad sign. And you just gave this guy a raise yesterday. So you better go out and win. You better start beating the teams that you're supposed to beat. I know we did that last year. You better keep beating the teams you're supposed to beat. And you better be more competitive in the big games.
Yeah, you put yourself in a bad place. You go out and you lay an egg tomorrow after just getting a raise. He better come. He better come to ball tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about what would happen.
About that possibility?
No, not right now. I'm not ready.
It'll be like Georgia State. Like,
no, it'll be worse.
No, I'm saying it wouldn't be worse because that's Georgia State, but it'll be like the same feel. Like, people will be very up in arms and be very
pissed
off.
But if you have that back-to-back years in a row, like, that's where I think that it could go over the top.
It won't be worse in terms of the quality of the opponent. Obviously, losing to South Carolina is not the same as losing to Georgia State. But, again, the third year in a row, you weren't ready to play. And I know COVID and all this stuff, it's a crazy year and everything. It's COVID on the other side of the field, too. I mean, South Carolina's had to deal with it, too. It sounds like we've got all our guys.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're relatively healthy coming into the game. So I don't view that as a legitimate excuse.
So let me ask you this question, because this is this was something I didn't entirely know how to react to. But we had seen on Twitter from Trey Wallace, who can be heard on your show, 36. He had said that Cade Mays is likely going to be boarding the plane or help me out here, Brandon. Has he already boarded the plane?
No, they've not gone on the plane yet.
Okay, but Trey said that he was expected to. So do you kind of, if he does board the plane, do you take that in any kind of certain way?
I just kind of woke up this morning assuming he wasn't going to play. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. Like, if I guess, obviously, it would be great if they deem him eligible, but I would still be pissed off about that it took so long. I mean, what has happened over the last week that could possibly change the information? They should have had this ready to go, ready to make a decision, no later than, I would say, Monday of this week. The decision should have been made. The case should have been closed. The fact that we're here like a little over 24 hours from kickoff, and we're still talking about this is absolutely absurd.
Something that we hadn't really talked about much, but somebody posed this question to me at my other job last night. We look at, and I'm on the side always of the players. I'm like, hey, I think that we make it too easy for the coaches to leave. We shouldn't make it as tough on the players because there's no loyalty with coaches, and they can just up and leave. But how would we feel if this was Trey Smith who transferred to Alabama or to Georgia?
Well, we would hate it, obviously.
But would you do you agree with the rule? Because I talked to somebody last night, like, you know, I kind of feel bad for Cade. He should have came here in the first place. He didn't want to because of Butch and maybe because of other things behind the scenes. But they kind of agreed with it because it's the rule. And then they put to me, well, what if Trey Smith had done that? We'd be very pissed off, very up in arms.
But and I understand rules are rules, and if they don't change it, they don't change it. But it was a rule that grad transfers could not transfer within the conference 2 years ago when Maurice Smith went from Alabama to Georgia. And they changed it.
Yeah.
So there's precedent to change a rule without having to have some sort of gigantic revote. If I recall correctly, the SEC just decided to do that against the very public wishes of Nick Saban, by the way, if you recall that story. So, there is some precedent here. And all indications point to the one-time transfer thing going through next year. And I just feel like all the momentum in college athletics is on the side of giving more freedom to the players and acknowledging the fact that it's not student athlete. They're going to these schools to play football. So let's put that. It doesn't mean you have to just completely ignore the educational aspect of this.
Of course.
Let's quit BSing each other.
And act like it's about
put the football component of these decisions at the forefront.
Was it Cardell who said, I didn't come here to play school?
Yeah, I didn't come here to play no school. I mean, it's the truth though. And I heard you yesterday afternoon talking about And that's what it seems like on the surface, that Greg Sankey wants to protect Georgia, wants to protect Alabama. Because if Cade Mays is playing versus Alabama, Tennessee does have a better shot to win that game. Maybe not a lock to win, but it does improve the chances of winning games over the season, which could throw a wrinkle into maybe getting two SEC teams into a college football playoff.
Well, this is the other hypocritical aspect of the way Sankey's his comments from this week is he says, well, there's a rule that the student must have an educational year.
Academic year.
Yeah. To transition. And yet, every decision Greg Sankey has made this year, this summer of COVID, has been with an eye towards getting two SEC teams in the college football playoff. That's all he cares about is creating as much revenue for his member institutions as he possibly can. And that's probably as it should be. But you're talking out both sides of your mouth when you're when you're saying, well, there are rules here. He didn't care. Did he care about the rule, like acting against some of the schools and rules and all this stuff when he was making that schedule up? Let's ask Arkansas and Tennessee how they feel about the process that was used to create the schedule this year. I'm guessing it wasn't unanimous across the league, so it just feels like he's hiding behind that rule to avoid having to make a decision, to avoid having to piss off Kirby Smart and or Nick Saban, Kirby Smart in this situation. And I would have a lot more respect for him.
NCAA cleared him. It's so sad.
I would be pissed if he came out and said he can't play. We all would. But I would at least respect him for having the spine to come out and make a decision and stand by it.
Just say something. And this is the second year that Tennessee's dealt with this. We dealt with the Aubrey Solomon decision pretty much up until the season opener last year.
And we would respect the decision. They're not just going to play him like some people have suggested. Oh, play him anyway, that kind of thing. Like, I don't think that would happen. We would respect the decision. We would disagree with it vehemently. But, dude, make a decision. The game is tomorrow.
I know.
It's tomorrow. And we're still, like, what are you waiting for? It's absurd.
The Voluntary Reaction. As soon as the UT game is over, tune in to Fan Run Radio's post-game free-for-all, featuring instant analysis from your favorite Fan Run Radio hosts and your phone calls. All the joy, all the rage, all the passion. Win or lose, it's must-hear radio. The Voluntary Reaction. Raw, unfiltered, real.
Hey, it's Jamie with Open Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike, and you've heard that it's easy in a Mitsubishi. You may also have heard that supply for some new vehicles is low across the board. Well, not at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike. We have brand new Mitsubishis in stock and plenty of supply at the Alban Franklin Motors price, which is $8,000 off of addendum. We have a huge selection of new Mitsubishis in the color and options that you want. It's easy in a Mitsubishi, and it's what East Tennessee has come to rely on from Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike. Remember, we own the bank, and we'll get you financed, no matter what your credit history looks like. We believe that you deserve a new car at an affordable price, $8,000 off of addendum, and we have plenty of new Mitsubishis in stock. So come on down to Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike, or call us, or visit albanfranklinmotors.com. No matter which way you decide to shop, you can rest assured that Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike will take care of you. Because it's easy in a Mitsubishi. Alban Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike, across from Chop House, 693-9315. AlbanFranklinMotors.com. It's easy in a Mitsubishi.
It's always a great time to support your local restaurants here in East Tennessee. And EB's Eats and Treats and Halls want you to do just that. Whether you're a regular or first-timer, head to 4620 Mill Branch Lane. EB's Eats and Treats, simply fresh, simply good. They've got you covered with sandwiches, wraps, salads, barbecue, hot dogs, a full kids menu, and homemade desserts. Open 7 days a week from 11 to 8. It's EB's Eats and Treats. Simply fresh, simply good.
Check out my Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union debit card. It's a debit card that earns rewards like cash back and more.
What? A debit card that earns rewards?
Yeah, I just have to use my debit card as credit whenever I make a purchase. So easy.
Learn how you can earn rewards every time you use your Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union debit card at tbacreditunion.com.
Join us now.
Federally insured by NCUA. Available to qualifying members. Some restrictions may apply. Ask for details.
Hey, it's Weston, the Fish Brown, former member of the Blitz on Fan Run Radio. I now work for eXp Realty, serving Knoxville and all surrounding counties. I specialize in first-time home buyers and give great value on listings. I'm now offering listings for as low as a 5% commission.
Oh, boy. I mean, we go from one great guest to another.
That's what game day eves do to you.
Yeah, buddy.
Is this reunion hour over here?
I think it is. This is the Blitz reunion slash the Drive reunion.
We hit 2018 with the last segment. We hit 2019 with this segment. Everybody, welcome into the show. The one and only Weston Fish Brown. Fish, game day eve. How you doing?
Good. Glad I could join for Boomer Hour of the Blitz.
Glove in the tub.
What's up, Fish?
Did you say Boomer Hour?
Is that Boomer Hour?
Oh, man.
Isn't every hour Boomer Hour?
I'm just joking. I like to give the Drive a hard time.
Weston? They like to give you a hard time, too, especially that guy named the Bear.
Yeah. He's probably still at Hardee's right now finishing his breakfast.
No, Fish. No,
he's Cracker Barrel.
Breakfast at Hardee's wraps up at 10:30. You know that.
Yeah, that's true. That's also the time they start selling the filet fish at McDonald's.
Because you got us a bunch that one time.
And I think he might be a K&W guy or the S&S cafeteria, whatever it's called, the S&S.
The S&S. Where the median age is about 72.
I like that place.
Of course you do.
There's one of those close to the studio, I believe, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah, no, I've gone there.
Give
for
us
lunch
the mean median
times.
Mode.
Nobody never is surprised that Charlie loves the S&S.
I've never ate at one of those.
Well, Weston, how you doing? We got game day tomorrow. You fired up?
I am. I'm looking forward to it. I think we get the win tomorrow.
Are you nervous? Are you confident? Are you just excited? What are you feeling?
I'm excited. I think we go down and win by a touchdown or two. Now, as far as like excitement for the whole season, I still have a lot of concerns. A lot. I think we're probably 6-4. 5-5, somewhere in there, if JG plays the whole way through. Now if we get Harrison Bailey in there or one of these other guys step up,
oh boy,
maybe 7-3, 8-2, we'll see. But JG still sucks.
You don't think, I mean, I know that you are not very optimistic towards him, but you don't see a situation where he can manage this team to a 6-4 kind of year. He can kind of maybe do enough to let the rest of the team be the emphasis of the team and just kind of do his job.
Get out the way.
Yeah.
No. No, I don't. I think that we could win all the games we're supposed to and then lose the – I don't know. Like, if he starts every game, I don't think we beat A&M. I don't think we beat Auburn. I think what we did down there a couple of years ago was a fluke. I think 5-5 if he starts every game.
Well, I think that I lean along the same lines with you, but it's interesting because we have two very kind of different opinions on the quarterback for it. I think I'm leaning 5-5 right now just because I do think that you can get a win that you're not supposed to, and I think that, hey, you might lose a game that you're not supposed to. But at the end of the day, I think the quarterback is obviously the biggest deal of this team and certainly has the ability to either keep us in games or take us out of games. But then again, you know, and especially in this game coming up tomorrow night, like, man, I'm hoping that the ground game, right, can be a point of emphasis. I'm hoping that, you know, you're not necessarily having to rely on Jarrett Garantano's arm in order to get you where you need to be in the game.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's pushed their chips in more than me on JG sucking, but I will eat all the crow in the world. I hope he does good, but if we haven't seen it yet, why would we see it now? I mean, I just don't think it'll happen, but I hope he proves me wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so too, Fish, but I mean, I think the reason that I'm willing to give him one more shot is this is his second year under the same offensive coordinator for the first time in his entire career. So I'm willing to give him one more chance. One more.
I hope you're right. Well, he's only got one more.
He can come back for he can come back next year too.
Good Lord, don't remind me.
Like, he's going to come back next year. Where's he going?
He's going to go start a business career.
Yeah, he's coming back.
Kent, I sent a Snapchat to Brandon and Rick yesterday with a big parlay I'm doing this weekend.
Oh,
I've never had one with a payout like this.
And I had to give up the old Snapchat social dilemma.
It is insane. Fair point.
I did. I had to give it up. But
it's 8 or 9 teams, and none of them are crazy bets.
Hold on. By the way, before you start real quick, yesterday Fish referred to himself in the third person as the parlay prince.
Oh, I kind of like it.
I kind of like it, too. I got to be totally
honest. I think we kind of got to run with it.
I kind of like it, the parlay prince.
I'll let it slide one time.
That's up there with Cash Out King.
We got to see if he lands his parlay.
I'll let it slide this one time. Usually self-given nicknames don't fly.
No, somebody in the comments called me that when I hit last year. I can't remember who it was. But, I've actually said it a few times.
So tell me, what's your parlay for the weekend?
It's huge.
So I'm betting a little over $100, and I think the payout is $47,000 or $45,000 or something like that. And I got UT -4. I got Georgia, they're like -26.5. Alabama -28. I got Auburn money line. I got Seattle. I got a few NFL games. I got Seattle money line. I think the most risky one is the Washington football team over the Browns. It was like a +200.
Oh, you picked them over the Browns? Baker had a nice Thursday night.
Hey, but Washington's got that defensive line.
Long week off.
Yeah.
Wait, do they play?
No, last
they played last Thursday, so they've had the extended break.
Oh, okay. I was hoping that it wasn't this Thursday, and can you imagine hitting 9 of them and having to wait till Thursday?
Oh my God. That would be brutal. So a big one, huh? You feeling pretty confident about this one?
No, not really.
I likely probably would have took Browns over the Washington football team, but that's just me.
I had to pick one that was a little bit of an underdog to boost that payout. Like, if I would have left if I would have left that one game off, it like cut it in half. So,
oh yeah,
but yeah.
You mean 23-5? Instead of 47,000?
Terrible.
That's horrible. Definitely take the 23-5. I like that cut it in half. It'd have been.
Look, I'm with Weston.
Like
here,
it
man.
Took it down hey, to like 200 bucks or something. Nah, go for it though, dude. I hope you hit it,
Weston. If you had to just, I mean, while we got you here for the last couple minutes, if you were making a confidence prediction for Tennessee, what would the range you would have them be in? And I mean, we got you on the radio right now, so can we get it? The season opening game day prediction for Tennessee, South Carolina.
According to the method.
According to the method.
Okay. I've slacked on the method. I'll try to.
Tennessee's a 4-point favorite. I don't know if that factors into the method.
Yeah, it would absolutely factor into the method, and it would.
He'll put 4 points.
It would probably place them right at like a 5.
Okay. So, but what would you go with?
Like my personal score, like if I'm just like how much confidence I have.
Yeah, like if you just had to pick out a 1 to 10.
A 7.
Okay.
And a score prediction, I'm gonna go 27-13.
So you got us with a 2-touchdown victory over South Carolina tomorrow night under the lights.
Yeah, I think so. I think we get the ball done. I think there's some positives, and I think that we're also going to see the negatives. Hopefully, there's not a gross overreaction either way. Like, if we won by a score like that, I think that everybody would be like, oh, well, you know, we still got to see what we have, and I hope that's what happens.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Fish, any kind of final thoughts on the way out?
No, I'm just looking forward. Glad to have football back, and go Vols.
Hey, yeah, buddy, good luck on your parlay this weekend. That is the prince of the parlay, the Fish, Weston Brown. Always good to have him back on the show. Guys, we are quickly making our way towards the end of the show. We still got a lot to get into as well. We got confidence predictions, and I got one more thing to hit on the table that'll get you ready for tomorrow's games. What are the most important things that Tennessee needs to focus on in order to get a victory tomorrow night? Give you that right after the break.
I've been moving calm, don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me. Don't pull up at 6.
All right, fellas, here we go. Back here on the Blitz, 11:36 a.m. as we are making our way through the second hour of the show. Man, two great guests. Two great unexpected guests to have here during the second hour. We had Russell Smith on. You can hear him today from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. on The Drive. He'll be with Trey and Bear.
And so, also on Saturday.
And also after on the Saturday game. Night. That's going to be a late night for them.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a
late night.
They're
not going to get started till like 11:30 midnight almost.
And Russell's still going to be tired for virtual school on Monday morning. Yeah. No doubt about it. And then we had the Fish just on a second ago. But, guys, real quick, before we get into our confidence prediction segment, I want to give you what I believe is the 5 count. Okay, so this is what Tennessee needs to most focus on, and this is what you at home can focus on. And if these things hit in any kind of combination – I believe that Tennessee handily wins this game. So here's how I got it. Here's how I got it lined up. Number one, the pass rush must disrupt the quarterback. We talked about that earlier at the beginning of the show. This is a guy who, if you can get him out of the pocket, you are going to make him uncomfortable. He is never going to be intentionally out of the pocket. Force him out, use your pass rush, and get him out of the pocket.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it in the first hour. I mean, you can't just let him stand back there and throw the ball. You got to flush him out of the pocket, get some pressure.
No doubt. Number two, limited time with the new coaching staff I think will play a role, although how big of a role will it play? Think about this. Tennessee brought in this offseason Jimmy Brumbaugh from Colorado, Shelton Felton from Akron, Jay Graham from Texas A&M, and then Brian Niedermeyer moved positions. Joe Osovet was promoted to being the tight ends coach, and A.J. Artis was also promoted within house to be the head strength and conditioning coach. Now, what do all of these coaches have in common? Well, all of them have had a very limited time to work with their new units. whether that's been from quarantine, contact tracing, limited practice, or no scrimmaging, they have all had significantly less time to work with their positional units than they would have ever imagined going into this season. How is that going to affect the game? And is that something we're going to be able to noticeably see? Maybe that's on the defensive line. Maybe that is with the tight ends. But I do think that that's going to be a focus, or at least for them, that's a big focus. I'd imagine these coaches would have wanted much more time. Now they're going into the season with probably a somewhat limited interaction with their players. How is that going to affect the game?
I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, obviously, I think it'll play a little bit of – I mean, it'll play a little factor. But, I mean, South Carolina's – I mean, they brought in a new offensive coordinator. So, I mean, I think they're – I mean, obviously, none of our positions are – as important as the offensive coordinator position that South Carolina is filling. But, I mean, I think it will play a little bit of a role, but I'm not all that worried about it. I think it should be minimal.
Sure. Number three, we talked about it earlier. New receivers stepping into the spotlight. As I said earlier, Juwan Jennings, Marquez Callaway, and Dominic Wood Anderson accounted for 65% of Tennessee's receiving yards last year. That's a lot. That's a huge number to make up. I believe that was over 1,800 yards between the three of them combined that Tennessee is going to have to figure out who is going to be able to reproduce those kind of numbers. Now, obviously, you have guys like Josh Palmer, Brandon Johnson, and Ramel Keaton who will be your starting trio tomorrow night, and they are returning players. But, man, you got a slew of wide receivers. Velus Jones Jr., Cedric Tillman, Jalin Hyatt. Those are just a couple of names I expect to see at some point in the game. Look, I don't think you need one receiver to step up. I don't even know if you can have two receivers step up. I think you need a trio of guys. I think you need multiple guys to be able to step up and say, hey, I will be a productive target. I will be a reliable target. I will be able to be more talented than the defenseman that's lining up on the other side of me. Who's that going to be? I'm not sure yet, but I'm excited to find out.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's going to have to step up. I'm ready.
And again,
to see
I think it's multiple
be.
People.
Yeah.
I don't think just one guy can step up. We need multiple guys to step up. Number four, time of possession, guys, will be critical in this game. I mean, think about it. Think about how much less practicing they have had leading up to this game. And this is not just Tennessee. This is South Carolina as well. They've had less scrimmages. They've had less practices. They've had less conditioning. They've spent more time quarantined in their room, in their dorm rooms, if you will. These kids are going to be tired. Let's not forget, these are incredible athletes, but in a lot of times, they're still 18, 19, 20-year-old kids who are going to be tired in the fourth quarter of this game. It will be up to the offense to keep them on the field. The defense already knows that getting off the field is their primary task. It'll be up to the offense to determine how much rest they will actually be getting. Neither team wants to be in the fourth quarter playing on a 60-yard drive with a critical third down stop in their own territory. Neither team wants to do that while their defense is exhausted. Time of possession, I believe, will be a very critical statistic in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I think, I mean, obviously conditioning's been limited. You've seen it in the NFL, too. I kind of think
I don't turnovers. Think time possession is going to be the – I would say turnovers, but I think there's going to be so many quick scores from the Vols. I think that.
Think so.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of big play potential out there. If things are to be true of what we keep hearing, Eric Gray, Ty Chandler, those guys hit home runs. And then I just don't think that they match up very well. I mean, like, going back, we have the better team, better talent. I don't think it's so much about time of possession. Like, I feel like time of possession is so critical when you're playing a team that's much better than you. You want to keep the ball away from them. You want to you want to slow the game down. I don't think that Tennessee will necessarily be trying to slow the game down because they're not scared of South Carolina. And I don't think the way that their offense probably flows will it allow them to purposely slow it down. I think that they're just going to be better and probably get scores here and there.
In last year's game, Tennessee won the time of possession 35 to about 25. And look, if those 10 minutes, I do believe, could be critical if that is towards the end of the game, towards the fourth quarter. But, man, you guys are totally right, turnovers as well. And then my fifth and final point, the most obvious. Couldn't have ended it any other way. Which Jarrett Garantano will we see, and what exactly will he be asked to do? In his last game versus South Carolina in 2019, threw for 229, 11 of 19, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Are we going to get a game similar to that? Are we going to get a game like Missouri, toss for over 400? Are we going to get a game like Vanderbilt, where it was barely over 100? He is going to be a major key to this game. It's going to be interesting to see how much Tennessee asks him to do, especially late into the game tomorrow night. Man, those are my five keys to the game. Coming up on the other side, let's get into some picks. Let's pick this weekend, finally. Wish that I was on old Rocky Top down in the Tennessee hills. Ain't no smoggy smoke on Rocky Top, ain't no telephone bills. All right, here we go. Before we get into our prediction segment, our confidence prediction segment, gotta let you know this. If you or a loved one have been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3help.me.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee for over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money that you deserve. That's g3help.me.com. Again, phone number 865-558-8030. g3help.me.com, law offices of G. Turner Howard III. All right, guys, finally, we've got a couple weeks of confidence predictions under our belt, but now, finally, we can add in a little bit of SEC gameplay into it. I'm also just now realizing that I haven't figured out my picks yet.
Yeah, I just saw that.
But I haven't done it yet.
It makes it kind of funny with the conversation that we just had.
It does. And now I'm really thinking about this, and I'm a little nervous. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to predict the college football games, as always, first, NFL second, and then we will save Tennessee for the final prediction. And I also want to know your season prediction that we'll kind of come back and maybe talk a little bit more about next week. But I want to know your season prediction, your game prediction, and obviously the confidence points for Tennessee. All right, let's start with this. Number 23, Kentucky. At number 8, Auburn.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Auburn in this one. I think Kentucky is going to be a pretty good team, but I'm going to go Auburn to take them in this first one. I think they'll be ready.
Yeah, I mean,
5 confidence points.
I agree. I'm taking Auburn with 6. I mean, you get Chad Morris as the offensive coordinator there. Should be
Good offensive coordinator with Dabo.
Very good. I agree with you, Chance. I think Kentucky's going to be a pretty good team this year too, but I think Auburn's just going to be too much. Like I said, Auburn with 6.
They're just going to be ready.
Yeah, I think Chad Morris is a bum. Auburn's the most overrated team in the country at this point, and Kentucky's going to be pretty good this year. I think a more experienced Kentucky team's going to pull off the upset on the road. Kentucky with 5 points. Wow.
Guys, I'm taking Auburn with 6 points. I guess in my case, I'm hoping that Bo Nix can continue a strong start to his career, and we'll see what he can do. But next, number 5, Florida at Ole Miss. I got Florida with 8. I don't see Ole Miss in the lane train doing it this first game, although who knows what could happen later in the season.
Yeah, I think Florida's one of the best teams in the SEC. Probably my pick to win the East, I'll go Florida with 10.
Not so fast.
Woo-hoo!
I'm taking Ole Miss with 2. Not a lot of confidence, but I do like Lane Train. Anytime I can pick Lane Kiffin, I'm generally probably going to pick Lane Kiffin. Just going to throw that out there. There's no rhyme, no reason, no logic, Charles. I see you looking at me. Ole Miss 2 points. I don't care. I don't like Florida as a Florida State fan and as a Tennessee alum. Ole Miss 2.
Florida, that might be the best team in the SEC. They're going to run all over Ole Miss. Florida 10.
There you go. Next game coming up. Go over to the ACC, number 24, Louisville, at number 21, Pitt.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't feel too great about this, and I don't know much about either team, but it was a ranked matchup, so I threw it in here. I'll go with Pittsburgh. I'll go with the Pitt Panthers and Pat Narduzzi, 3 points over Scott Satterfield.
Yeah, I went back and forth on this, and the only thing I know is that Louisville's quarterback did not look that good when they played Miami this past week. He struggled with pressure, so I'm going to take Narduzzi. I'm going to go Pitt with 6 points.
6.
Gentlemen, I'm going to go Pitt with 4.
Yeah, I'm going to go Pitt 1 just because I like Kyle Pickett a little bit better than Louisville's quarterback.
And next one up, finally in the ACC, final college one that's not named Tennessee. Florida State at number 12, Miami. Chance, can the Noles do it?
Damn right they can. Derek King, go back to Houston. There's never going to be a day in my life that I pick Miami unless just really have to. I think I might have picked them last week, so I actually lied. Nobody fact-checked that, though. But, yeah, I'm going – there's not a day when Florida State plays Miami that I'm ever going to pick Miami. I just can't do it.
For the record, you only gave him 1.2, so you didn't even give him
And anything. I remember I said hate doing this when I did it.
And you only gave him one because of that.
Give me Florida State 3.
Chance, I hate to do it, but
hey, this is no,
Miami's looked pretty good.
I won't pick Miami.
Derek King has looked really good so far. Florida State's without Mike Norvell. I'm going Miami with 9.
And if they win without Mike Norvell, get him out of here.
They might play better without
him. Get him out of here.
Who knows?
All the off-season stuff.
They might actually have some good communication.
Get him out of here if they win.
Guys, I'm going Miami with 10, but I got to be honest. That's just because I didn't – there's not a great 10 on this list.
There isn't.
I really believe that. There's not a great 10.
But there is, Charlie.
So I'm going to go the 12 versus the unranked.
I like it.
You're a lunatic. Not you, Chance. Miami, 7. I don't know. I just think they're better.
All right, guys.
Understood.
Hey,
understood.
Let's fly through these four NFL ones real quick. Tennessee at Minnesota. I have the Tennessee Titans with 5 confidence points.
I'm going with Minnesota, and I think that they're a much better team. We all expect them to be a much better team. They came out looking pretty bad. Kirk Cousins kind of looking mediocre again. Maybe Stephon Diggs really did help out Adam Thielen a lot as well. But they're going to get Dalvin Cook going. This is going to be a game where all about the run game on both sides. Get Dalvin Cook, try to work in that play action, try to get Thielen open, or get it to the guy from LSU, the rookie. I'm going with the Minnesota Vikings, Charlie. 10 points. That's right. Woo! 10! 10!
10!
I give it a 10!
Yeah, buddy.
Billy Bob,
that's
Varsity
confidence
Blues.
Pick suicide right there.
That's what you said about Vegas.
Yeah, I don't know. Titans, I mean, the Vikings are desperate, but they also don't have anyone healthy in their front 7. If the Vikings try to stack the box, Tannehill's going to eat them up.
Rapid fire.
Titans, 4.
Let's go Las Vegas at New England. I have New England.
I'll go Titans, 2. I think the Vikings will be
– the Titans?
I think it's going to be close. Vikings back up against the wall, but I'm going Titans.
Couldn't be me.
All right, Las Vegas at New England. I have New England with 8. I did have them with 9, but I changed Florida to 9 instead.
Yeah, I'll go with New England with 8 as well. I thought they looked pretty good against Seattle last week, and I don't know if I'm buying into Vegas completely.
Yeah, I like what Darren Waller did, and Derek Carr looked good, but I think Cam's going to bounce back and win a big game this week. 9 points.
Yeah, Patriots 8.
Dallas at Seattle. Seattle has never lost a game when they are up by 4 or more with Russell Wilson at quarterback. I think Dallas is down early. I don't think they can do it. I'm going Seattle 2.
Yeah, I'm going Seattle with 4. I think Russell Wilson's too good.
I think he's good too, but I like Dallas' comeback efforts last week, although it was against the Falcons. And I tend to think Russell's got to slip up sooner or later. Give me Dallas 1.
I got Seattle 9. I think they're the best.
He's been
team
too
in the
perfect.
NFC, and the Cowboys are just pretty mediocre.
All right, last one from the NFL until we get to Monday Night Football on Monday. Green Bay at New Orleans. This was a tough one for me to pick, but I'm going to go Green Bay with 3 confidence points.
I'm going with the Pack. Drew Brees did not look good.
No.
Now, they may bounce back on Sunday night, but I'm still going with Aaron Rodgers and the Pack.
Go, Pack, go. He's a bad man. 8 points.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like the Saints are going to bounce back somehow, even though they probably shouldn't win that game. Saints, 2.
All right, and then finally, we hit it. 7:30 p.m. on Saturday night. You've waited. You will get it. Finally, Tennessee at South Carolina, the number 16th ranked Vols, the unranked Gamecocks. Guys, what do you have for this one?
I'll go Tennessee with 5 confidence points. I mean, we talked about it all show. I think Tennessee's has the edge on paper anyway at almost every position. I'll go Tennessee 24, South Carolina 17.
All week I had nightmares.
Yeah.
I thought South Carolina was going to come in here. I was going to put 10 points on them.
Oh, my.
Last night I had a good dream.
You had an
epiphany. We might call it a fantasy. It was that good.
Wow.
Tennessee 34-10.
Yeah!
Give me 4 points. Yeah! We are back.
Let's go!
We are back!
Will Muschamp's a bum. They're unhealthy. They bring back nobody. We're Tennessee. They're South Carolina. Russell said it, a bunch of losers. Vols 31-9. Six confidence points.
Guys, I got 7 on Tennessee. I'm going a 24-14 victory. Hey, we're finally here. Let's go Balls!